Hi, I'm Howard Dayton. Today on Money Matters, why you shouldn't go it alone when you're making financial decisions.
Howard will share what the Bible says about seeking advice in just one moment. Hi, I'm Steve Moore. Later, a former pastor talks about how churches are being affected by the financial burdens that members and pastors are carrying. Plus, your questions about the journey to true financial freedom. Call anytime, 1-800-525-7000. And thanks for joining us today for Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries.
Well, in my experience, one of the most important things you can do to avoid financial problems is to seek counsel. You know, a lot of people have lost a lot of money. They've subjected themselves and their families to years of heartache, years of stress. And here's what's really tragic. They could have avoided most of their difficulties if they'd simply sought the counsel from someone who has a rock-solid understanding of God's way of handling money. Proverbs 19, verse 20 tells us, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you're going to be wise." And Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." So all of us should intentionally seek to surround ourselves with godly people who can counsel us. You know, we all have limited experience. We all have limited knowledge. We need the insights of others. We need the suggestions of others that are going to aid us in making a good financial decision. Now, there's one very common attitude that keeps many of us from seeking counsel, and it's called pride. Let me spell that for you. P-R-I-D-E, pride. Some people think seeking advice is a sign of weakness. They picture John Wayne saying to him, "Hey, pilgrim, stand on your own two feet. You don't need anyone to help you make your financial decisions. Get a grip on yourself. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps." You know, this attitude is completely contrary to what we see in the Bible. The Christian life should not be one of independence from one another. We're to be dependent upon one another. Now, I want to encourage you. Well, I really want to challenge you. If you don't have someone in your life who can give you helpful financial advice that's based on the Bible, I want you to do this. Pray. Pray for the Lord to bring that person into your life. I promise you, it'll be one of the best financial decisions you ever make.
You know, Howard, it's always great to have someone to bounce something off of, especially if that person is a godly man or a woman. And if you can't find that person in your church and the concern is primarily financial, well, that's why we have budget coaches all across the country.
That's right, Steve. Although, Steve, I've got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't do your John Wayne impersonation.
How could I follow yours?
Easily.
You're listening to Money Matters. Your host, Howard Dayton. I'm Steve Moore. Back with your calls and your impressions, if you'd like to do some, right after this.
If you're an entrepreneur or business leader, there's always a lot to think about. Employees, financing, sales, costs, margins. What are the keys to making your business prosper? The Business by the Book Independent Study will help you find the answer to this question. This study will outline advice found in the number one business consulting resource of all time, the Bible. The Business by the Book Independent Study includes a student course book and two DVDs featuring the training of Dave Ray, former president of Apple Canada.
God has given us a roadmap to guide you in making wise decisions, from hiring and firing to business organization and management.
Discover God's blueprint for business and personal success, and learn on your own schedule from your office or living room. To find out more, visit crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. To find out how to get a copy of the Crown Money Map, showing the steps to true financial freedom, go to crownmoneymap.org, crownmoneymap.org.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Howard Dayton, along with Mr. Steve Moore, and we are just delighted to have you with us today. And, Steve, I have a startling stat before we take our calls.
I know you do.
This is an encouraging one.
All right.
Improved life expectancy has lowered life insurance premiums. a healthy 40-year-old man can in many cases get term life insurance for less than half of what he paid for it 10 years ago. Insurers have a number of qualifications, such as you can't be a smoker, but that's pretty significant, a huge drop in the premiums for insurance. And you can visit a website. It's simply insure, insure.com. And they'll have more information on that.
And in most cases, do you prefer term insurance?
I do, Steve, although it, you know, it depends on the financial situation, age. There's a host of different factors to take in, but it's certainly the most economical way for most people to go.
Indeed it is. Ready for some calls?
I'd love to have some calls.
All right, let's go north. Freeland, Michigan. Todd, listening to our friends at WUGN.
Todd, thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Howard. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Todd.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing really well. I really appreciate your call.
Well, good. Here's my question. I'll try to get to the point here. I am debt-free. I have my mortgage.
Yes.
But I have a substantial, what I believe a substantial amount of money that I would like to know what to do with from this point on from my money market account.
Yes. What are the options that you're faced with, Todd?
Okay, I've got two daughters. They're going to be in one daughter next year. They'll be in college, and then 3 years, another daughter will be in college. And I still have a mortgage on the house.
Okay, all right. Have you set anything aside yet for their college education?
You know, I really haven't. I kind of, the money that I had saved, I guess that indirectly I felt some of that would go towards their college.
Yes. How much do you have in the way of a retirement account in addition to this?
Retirement account, if you're talking about a 401k, I have about $75,000.
Okay.
And the money market account, I have about $100,000.
Okay, all right. How much is left on your home mortgage?
$143,000.
Okay, all right. Well, I think the name of the game is for you and your wife to pray about which priorities are most important to you. This is my recommendation, and I'll just throw it out, and at least it'll be food for thought. What I would communicate to my daughters is, you know, I'll help you with college, but I won't pay for it all. Then what I would recommend is that you and your wife pray about it, decide on a figure, and then have an old-fashioned family conference. Where you get together with the girls and you tell them, this is the amount of money, $15,000, $20,000, whatever it might be, that we're going to dedicate to each of your educations. But I really want to encourage you girls, be hard workers, you know, help earn some of the costs of the college education you're going to get. Work part-time while you're in school, work full-time during the summer, encourage them to explore scholarships and grants. And there's a wonderful website, scholarshipcoach.com, that will be just a wonderful website for them to get lots of good ideas on how to do just that. And then just encourage them to graduate from college with as little debt as possible. The second thing I would do, you know, getting the house paid for would be a high priority for me. So I would probably put $50,000 out of the $100,000 that you have in the money market fund towards that. And then what I would do is I'd take my monthly surplus, divide it in half, put half into my savings and investing to replenish what I took out of it. The other half I would dedicate to prepaying the mortgage. And with that amount done, you can go to the Crown website, and we've got a calculator, mortgage calculator. But my hunch is you'd probably have the mortgage paid off in about 7 years.
Okay.
And let me just give you one other thought. While you're holding the family conference with your daughters, I'd address, if you haven't already, the issue of the wedding, because for a dad, a wedding can be a pretty expensive thing for daughters. And what we did with our daughter, we gave her a fixed amount that we thought was a reasonable amount for the wedding. She knew it in advance. She knew it a long time in advance, so that her expectations were what I call sane. And then we told her, if you come under budget, you save anything, we're going to set that aside and you can use it as the down payment on your home. And she came in at 35% of budget because she and her husband were really motivated to be able to get a home at some point. So I'd encourage you to do that as well.
That'd be great.
Sounds like you're doing a good job and you're asking all the right questions, Todd. I hope that information helps you.
Well, it's very helpful, and thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Thanks. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Back to our phones, Valley Grande, Alabama, WLBF. And Jed, thanks so much for holding. What's your question?
Thank you so much for taking my call, gentlemen.
Sure.
I'm 20 years old, and I have I'm very diligent about saving, but I have about $800 in consumer debt, just, you know, charge accounts and things like that. And I feel that I have an issue with spending, and I want to know how to be diligent. I dedicate about 40% of my income to the Lord's work.
Excellent.
So I just wanted to call in and see if you had any pointers for me.
Well, I appreciate that. Jed, as you look at your spending, what's your biggest challenge when it comes to spending? Is there anything that you feel like you're a little out of control on?
Yes, sir. I wear rings, and I've recently been convicted of it, and the Lord showed me to sell some of them and to store some of them. And jewelry is a big issue for me, but I've repented of it and I've given it up to Him as He directed me. So I believe that's been handled. But other than that, you know, I have a work in retail, and so I have to dress accordingly.
Yes.
The high-class retail. So I have to spend money in that area, but other than that, not really anything certain.
Just how many rings do you have, Jed?
Well, I'm very ashamed, but I have over 80.
Yeah, you could probably afford to sell some of them.
Right.
And is there? Do you think that you'd be able to recover the money that you invested in them?
Yes, sir, I do.
Good. Well, I would go ahead and sell them, and I'd sell as many of them as I could. And kind of what's exciting to me is that, I mean, you're giving 40% of your income to the Lord. That is so encouraging, so remarkable. I do feel like, you know, the Lord's, you know, clearly got His hand on you. And I would just encourage you, you know, now's the time to go for it. You're 20 years old. Continue to be generous and save and invest for your future, because I promise that you'll be delighted that you did.
Okay. Wonderful.
Because particularly as you get older, the purchase of a home, or if you get married or that sort of thing, it's just a real blessing to have some savings.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Right. Also, I have another question. I started a Roth IRA, and I got nipped in the bud by it because I started losing money, and it got to the point where I was losing a very substantial amount of money, and I prayed about it, and I decided to close it out. Is it wise for me to invest in that sort of thing, in mutual funds and such, and is now the time?
Well, nobody knows the time when it comes to investing in the stock market, but I do want you to open up the Roth IRA again.
Okay.
And even if you're super conservative, even if you just kept it in CDs and let it grow, it grows tax-free. And when you're ready to retire, you can take it out tax-free. And that's a huge benefit to be able to take it out tax-free, Jed. So I'd like you to open up one and be real, real consistent in investing in it. And at your age, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let me send you the book, Your Money Map.
Thank you.
Because we talk about exactly what a young person should do in their investing life. And, you know, I just encourage you to be faithful at doing it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, Jed.
Thanks, Jed.
God bless you.
Okay,
right.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, Jed has an interesting situation there. He obviously had a bit of an obsession about jewelry and rings, owned over 80 rings. And it's my understanding here these weren't, you know, $12 rings. These were real rings, lots of gold involved and things like that. But, you know, have you ever known anyone who had some sort of obsession like that? With guys, often it's cars and motorcycles and stuff like that.
Cars, motorcycles, Steve. Well, am I looking at an obsessive?
Well, no, but I mean, I do know of guys that have, you know, 30 or 40 motorcycles or sports cars. Right. Obviously, I can't afford that, but, you know, they can. But it can, that kind of thing can be an obsession.
Well, and any time that happens, and I love Jed's response. He's obviously growing in his relationship with the Lord. Very unusual young man in that he's given 40% of his income away to the kingdom. And anytime you have a heart like that, the Lord's going to speak to you. Mm. And he's encouraged Jed to corral that obsession with rings and to be sane in having a little jewelry, but not gobs of jewelry. So I'm really encouraged by what the Lord's doing in his life.
Yeah, and that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts about things that may be out of whack a little bit.
Exactly right.
All right. Let's go back to our phones. Medina, New York, WCOU. Peggy, what's on your heart today?
Hi. I want to thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Your program has been a real blessing to us. My husband hits retirement age in about 6 years, and we're hoping to have our, quote, financial house in order by that time.
Great.
I have a question in regards, actually two questions, in regards to a 401k.
Sure.
My husband's company recently switched what providers or whatever you call them for the 401k to a new one last fall. And what he had in the old one was rolled over. What I'd like to know is, do I need to keep any of the paperwork from that previous 401k? And also for the new 401k, how much of that paperwork do I actually have to save?
Yeah.
On a recent program, I was convicted about going through our filing cabinet when you talked about what papers to save and what to keep.
Yes.
I have a 30-year accumulation to get rid of. And so... that's what I wanted to know about the 401k. That wasn't covered.
Yeah, very good. What I like to do, Peggy, is I like to keep all my investment, all my tax records for 7 years.
Okay.
Just in case there's any question. And it is amazing how many times you have to go back and take a look at them. And after 7 years, just keep your tax returns and your really key documents like your marriage certificate, deed for your home. You know, those things you keep forever. And it sounds to me as if it's probably time for a little spring cleaning for you.
Yeah.
I like to call it clutter's last stand. And what I do and would encourage you to do as well is just keep a shoebox. Actually, it used to be a shoebox. Now I put it in a little, one of those little plastic boxes. Each year I put all my receipts in a box. Go ahead and I categorize them. I put a rubber band around them so I know what's been my income, my giving, my statement for my checking account, that sort of thing. Then each year at tax time, I go back and I empty the oldest shoebox, the one that's been there for 7 years. That way I don't accumulate probably what you've accumulated, which may be a closet full of documents, but I just turn them over once a year, get rid of the old ones. I've got a new shoebox that really contains everything I need to know.
Okay. Now, in regards to those, the old 401k, now that's no longer in existence,
yes.
Do I need to keep that stuff now? Or?
Well, I'd go back 7 years.
Okay.
And I'd keep it for, you know, a seven-year period. But, you know, every year I'd just go through what I've got, get rid of the old, put in the new.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Peggy.
Peggy, look on the bright side. Because it gets cold in Medina, you have no need of firewood.
I don't have a fireplace to burn.
Okay, well then you really don't need any firewood. Thanks, Peggy. We appreciate your call.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. She was sweet.
She was.
Hey, next on Money Matters, how the financial pressures on pastors and their flocks are affecting the church. We want to talk about that when we return.
My name is Emily, and my husband and I are working on Destination 2, which is to pay off all credit card debt and save 1 month living expenses for emergencies.
The Crown Money Map shows you the 7 steps, or destinations, to true financial freedom.
We have about $1,500 in credit cards left to pay off, and then we can increase our savings.
Steps like paying off credit card debt, starting an emergency fund or a college fund for the kids. Now that all sounds great, but how do you do it? While the Crown Money Map shows you which step to take next, now there's a book that will show you how. Your Money Map, the new book by Howard Dayton. This guide will help you to reach each destination on the Crown Money Map and eventually true financial freedom.
It's a great feeling when you reach the next destination and you can see the progress that you've been making.
To order your copy of Your Money Map by Howard Dayton in hardcover or in audio form, call 800-722-1976.
Well, joining me now is Ashley Clayton. He is serving as the Vice President of Stewardship for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention is partnering with Crown to help the denominations, get this, 43,000 churches and 17 million members grow in their understanding of God's financial principles. Ashley's a former pastor and knows how money problems are affecting pastors and so many church members today. And that's what we wanted to talk with him about. Ashley, welcome to Money Matters.
Thank you, Howard. Good to be here.
Well, how does it affect a church, do you think, when a pastor or the church members or both are financially bound?
Well, you of all people are aware of the enormous problem that's out there with consumer debt, easy money, and the credit card debt and all of that. And what we believe is that in our Southern Baptist churches, our church members are seriously handcuffed with regard to debt. You know, it's one thing to motivate people on a Sunday morning. You can get believers excited about every aspect of the Christian life on a Sunday morning. They want to give, they want to witness, they want to teach a Sunday school class, they want to go on a mission trip. What happens is, and every church leader knows this, by the time Monday morning rolls around and Tuesday night outreach and Wednesday night programming and opportunities to serve the Lord, when these opportunities present themselves, the people can't get there. And so the impact of the debt, I think, is it just takes the motivation away. I think it's not a matter of people wanting to serve the Lord. I think they can't.
Yeah.
I think they can't give. I think they can't serve. I think they can't fulfill God's calling on their life. And I think it has a lot to do with just the sheer amount of debt and pressure that they live with.
Yeah, well said, Ashley. Well, we're very excited about Crown's new alliance with the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a new day for financial freedom.
Right.
How do you think this initiative will help pastors in their churches?
Well, again, I've been a practitioner. I've been in church work, you know, all of my life up until just really a few months ago here now with the Executive Committee. My experience in churches is that this is a silent issue. Our pastors are not preaching and they're not teaching about, financial matters and financial integrity and stewardship. And I have an idea, a pretty good idea, that it's because they themselves are in debt. As a matter of fact, in most Southern Baptist churches where you do find Crown, small groups are in place and maybe they're doing some one-day seminars and they're teaching about stewardship, in almost every case, it's been a layman in the church that has brought it there. And I think it's because pastors are in debt, and it's an issue. One of the things we're trying to do in this new initiative among Southern Baptists is to bring some leadership and some resources to pastors. If pastors were liberated and all of a sudden they could lay their head on a pillow at night and be at peace with God and the world around them, imagine what they would say on Sunday mornings. They would be the ones beating the drums saying, you know, follow me, and I'll lead you to financial freedom. I'll help you to get out of debt.
Well, Ashley, I appreciate the opportunity that we have to work with you guys to make that a reality.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, thanks so much for being with
us. Thank you, Howard.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ashley Clayton is the Associate Vice President of Stewardship for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. If you'd like to find out more about their initiative, It's a New Day for Financial Freedom, you'll find a link on our website, crown.org. Just go there, click on Money Matters, and look under today's program description. That's crown.org. Well, Howard, we're excited about that, and God is truly working in wonderful ways, isn't he?
He sure is, Steve.
You've been listening to Money Matters. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Howard Dayton. Thank you so much for joining us today. We sure hope you can join us again tomorrow as together we take another step on the journey to true financial freedom.